Let me read another poem. It's called The Sound of a Song. It's on page 76. I walk in stillness. Where my rest is set is heaven. And the silence of the stars sings in a soundless circle. For the song of heaven is past hearing and ascends beyond the tiny range the ear can catch and soars into a spaceless magnitude where sound and silence meet in unity. Holy am I who brings my Father's name with me and who abides in him, although I seem to walk alone. Look carefully, and you may catch a glimpse of him who stands beside me. And I lean on him in sure, unswerving confidence. It was not thus before, for I was bitterly afraid to take the help of heaven for my own. Yet heaven never failed, and only I stayed comfortless, while all of heaven's gifts poured out before me. Now the arms of Christ are all I have, and all my treasure is. Now have I ceased to question. Now I come from chaos to the stillness of my home. All right. Here again you see the big emphasis on silence, on stillness, on the soundless song. I mean, right at the beginning, I walk in stillness where my rest is set as heaven, and the silence of the stars sings in a soundless circle. So heaven is soundless. Right? We're the ones who make all the noise. You know, that's why you can even see it as a society. I mean, everything is so noisy. You could hardly go into a restaurant without being bombarded. And, the movies is just louder and louder, more and more special effects. Everything is loud. Everything is fast. And the fastness of everything mirrors the fact that everything is so noisy, and there's such a need to kind of exploit the senses and excite the senses. And nobody reads anymore. Nobody writes. Everybody texts. So they forget how to spell. And everything is fast. Everything is fast. You know, someone wrote a book many, many years ago, A Course in Miracles in 5 Minutes. Actually. That's the truth. I didn't read it because all I had was 3 minutes. But everything is fast. You know, everybody wants a shortcut. Everybody wants an abridged version of the course. You know, but heaven is silent. All right? It's quiet. You know, when the course talks about the quiet center that's in us or the stately calm within, that's what we're afraid of. Because in that quietness and in that stately calm, our I slowly dissolves. You know, this personal self slowly dissolves. And so in order to preserve this, again, it's really important to understand this, in order to preserve this loud, raucous self, the self that makes all this noise, the body that makes all this noise, and to protect it from this soundless self, we make up all our problems and all the things that disturb us, all the angst in our life, all the tension, all the conflict, all the problems. And we live from problem to problem to problem. You know, we live from busyness to busyness to busyness. It is possible to be physically busy and still be quiet inside. But that's what frightens us. So we defend against the quiet inside by just being busy. Right? But heaven is soundless. You know, the silence of the stars sings in a soundless circle. For the song of heaven is past hearing and ascends beyond the tiny range the ear can catch. So it's beyond the body. It can't be apprehended by the senses. It can't be understood by the brain. This course can't be understood logically. You know, you could pick apart a sentence so that you understand what the sentence means, but you lose the forest because of the trees. You're analyzing the trees. and trying to make logical sense. And you can't do it. It defies logic. It defies reason, what the world calls reason. When the Course talks about reason, it's really talking about right-minded thinking or the Holy Spirit's thinking, which is different from the world's reasoning, which is very logical, which is 2 plus 2 equals 4. You know, this is the way bodies operate. This is the way relationships work. This is the way relationships don't work. This is the way someone gets a job. This is the way someone loses a job. There are all different laws and rules. And we actually think that they hold without realizing that we want them to hold and we follow them and we obey them so we can keep that quiet center silent in the ego sense of the word silent. We just keep it buried and kind of locked in a vault. So the song of heaven soars into a spaceless magnitude where sound and silence meet in unity, where opposites are united and the opposites disappear. You know, Jung talked about reconciling opposites. This is not the same thing. You don't reconcile the opposites disappear. Pleasure and pain disappear. Short and tall disappear. Male and female disappear. Right? Silence and sound disappear. And so what we want to become is what these next lines say. Holy am I who brings my Father's name with me and who abides in him. Although I seem to walk alone because I'm a body. I look like a body. So when Jesus appeared, people made him into a body. And then they wrote stories about his birth and about his life and about his death as a body. So as bodies, of course you walk alone. Bodies can't join. There's a line that says, minds are joined, bodies are not. The purpose of bodies is not to join. Minds join. So I seem to walk alone. I seem to walk alone even though I'm not. Look carefully and you may catch a glimpse of him who stands beside me. And I lean on him in sure, unswerving confidence. Right. It doesn't mean people are really going to see Jesus or some non-ego symbol with you. They will experience the love of that non-ego symbol through your defenselessness, through your kindness that's universal, through you not letting anything in the world ruffle you or disturb you. Peace cover you within, without the same. No matter how awful the dream around you, you'll still be that peaceful presence. That's how people will look carefully and may catch a glimpse of him, capital H, who stands beside you. Right. But then there's this section of the poem. It was not thus before, namely having unswerving confidence in him, for I was bitterly afraid to take the help of heaven for my own. Right. That's everybody's problem. That's everybody's situation. We're bitterly afraid to take the help of heaven for our own. Why? Because the help of heaven would lead me to heaven. The help of heaven would let me see my individual life, very little, very little insignificant life, because all bodies are insignificant. You know, in the Course, Jesus talks about his little life as a man. That we're taught by this loving teacher that everything in our life becomes a means to an end. The world teaches us that the means is an end in and of itself. No, I want the perfect relationship. I want the perfect body. I want the perfect job. I want the perfect car. I want the perfect children. I want the perfect home. You know, I want the perfect spirituality. And so what we're taught is that none of that matters, whether it's perfect or imperfect, because the only purpose of anything in this world is to help us learn there is no world. And that the body, anything of the world, of the body, becomes a vehicle to help us return to what the body is a projection of, which is the mind's decision. You know, I've often said that the Course is one where Jesus leads us on a journey from the mindless to the mindful. The mindless to the mindful. It doesn't matter what the mindless is. Mindless means body. It doesn't matter what the mindless is, good or bad, big or small, sick or well, alive or dead, animate or inanimate, it doesn't matter. Because its only purpose is to lead us back to the mind. That's what the miracle does. It leads us from the world as the cause, as the dream, back to the dreamer, which is the mind.